Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 929 FM 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio, you can now stream anytime, anywhere, of course, on the Odyssey app. But we're also now available on both iHeart and TuneIn, so you can listen and stream anytime, anywhere. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey.
Good afternoon. I think I'm obligated at this point to also wish my beautiful wife a happy birthday. I think I've been instructed to not reveal the age, but happy birthday, sweetie. My company is each and every Wednesday on the program. He's the MC of Fun and Games here in the Memphis area. He's also the host of Writer Than Right Trivia, where throughout the month of August, we'll be giving away tickets to go see James Taylor September the 13th at Bank Plus Amphitheater, 10:30 tomorrow. We'll have the whole gang back. It's a full Writer Than Right Trivia. We got Jeff only answering the questions that he knows and keeping score, along with the host. He, of course, is Kevin Cerrito on Twitter on X at Cerrito. Good day, sir.
Greetings and salutations to everybody here. Great to be in studio. A lot to talk about here today. Looking forward. The James Taylor, I heard the commercial earlier today. I was listening. The promo, Brad Carson. I didn't know we were giving away Taylor tickets all month long, so we were 1 month away. So we've still got a few more weeks to go, so you have quite a few chances to win tickets to one of Jeff Calkins' favorite music artists.
I think it actually is the number one. I think the promo says one of his favorites, but I'm pretty certain it is actually the number
numero
one.
Numero uno.
So shout out to Connor Dunning and crew from Promotions for making that happen. So again,
we've had awesome prizes, right?
We've had quite a nice run. It's also nice to have the built-in, all right, here's what we're giving away for a month, so we don't have to scramble. So that will be tomorrow. George, remind everybody where you will be tonight.
Tonight, Music Bingo at Dan McGinnis down in South Haven, Goodman Road. Come on down, have a great time. It's fun.
Kevin, what other events do we have going on tonight?
Well, I will be out at Huey's in Carville, where I usually am on Wednesday night. Got a great crowd there. Lots of listeners to 92.9. ESPN out there in Carville at the Huey's, but Music Bingo,
you get many potato soups there.
Yes. Well, the potato soup at Huey's. It's almost potato soup season, right? But so George is in South Haven if you're in that suburb. I'll be in Carville if you're in that suburb. But we're in the city as well, downtown at MFS Brewing, Hampline Brewing, there right off of Broad Avenue, also playing Music Bingo. But we have trivia tonight, Ghost Rivers Tap Room on South Main. Celtic still closed for the time being for their renovations, but our newest spot, Rockies,
baby.
So we're at Rockies tonight as well, where we get cash prizes for trivia tonight at Rockies. I think
teams can win $75, right?
$75, yeah. Cash.
It is 21 and older, though, right?
Yeah, 21 and up, and it does start at 8. It's a later start than most of our trivias, but it's the only one with weekly cash prizes. Of course, if you win a Cerrito trivia event around town, you qualify to compete for $1,000 cash.
The TOC, baby.
Tournament of Champions, courtesy of Jack Pearl's Chicken in Phelan, Memphis. We do it every year. We'll be back again this year, but you got to win one in order to qualify for that. But you can win cash every week now, $75 at Rockies on Wednesdays.
So what we got coming up on the program, we will start with some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Then coming up next segment, we're going to have Adarius Walls, a.k.a. the Humble Assassin. He will be headlining Attitude MMA's Southland Showdown 3. Again, it's MMA Fights 35 for Attitude MMA. It's the Southland Showdown 3. You can get tickets at attitudemma.com, and if you use the promo code 929WMFS, you will get 15% off of your tickets. He's going to be in studio, hopefully, to tell us about the main event on Saturday night. We're going to get into the list. Of course, we've got the podcast of all podcasts, it's a video podcast. It's going to break the internet, all that good stuff. We're going to, of course, talk about that during hour number two. We've also had some TV news. We will get into that as well.
Are you concerned about inside the NBA? We'll find out later.
We'll discuss. I don't know if concerned is the right word. I would say get used to less is more. I think that would be my preview for that. We'll tell you about that as well. Then CJ Hurt's going to join the program. Always love having CJ on the program. He'll join us at 3:30. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But let's just start with some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. All right, boys, I preface the first prompt with the news of the day. For those that cannot keep up, and I don't blame you, we will get the full NBA schedule release tomorrow.
We do? Get it tomorrow?
We get the full, the Grizzlies schedule, we will have the Grizzlies schedule tomorrow.
The entire schedule?
Correct. And
tomorrow.
If it goes as normal, I believe it's usually released, and then we hit the air. So we will have it for you. Eric is going to join us, of course, to break it down as well. But we'll get the full schedule release tomorrow.
David Cobb, we hear they'll be fantastic.
Correct. Yeah. However,
the schedule reveal show tomorrow. I hate that I won't be here for it, but I'll be listening.
Last Friday, I believe, we got the opening night games. I don't recall if we got Christmas Day games over the weekend or if we got, but those leaked out. Then we also got the leak, I guess technically before opening night, we got the leak that the Grizzlies would be playing
the
overseas.
International games, yeah.
Correct, which everyone's fired up for. Then we've also gotten the MLK games released, and I believe we've had NBC's Peacock debut. I think that's opening week as well. So we've had... Okay. We've had it kind of leaking out in that fashion. But tomorrow, we will have...
The full schedule finally tomorrow. Because I've been so confused. I'll see a story. This team is playing on this day. And I'm like, oh, they've got the schedule out. And I'll go look. And I'm like, I don't see anything. But anyway, that's good to know that I'll be able to know. We could start planning ahead, right? We're just planning for the...
God, I hope so. I that is my understanding is how it's going to work. But today... We got NBA Cup games. So
that's today's.
Correct. So DeMichael, every team's beat writer I saw was tweeting out their NBA Cup games. So our old pal, Amari Sankofa, who's now covering the Pistons, I saw him having it. I believe Evan Barnes, who's now covering the Nets. I've seen them. All of our old pals are tweeting out the Cup games. So DeMichael from the CA tweeted out the Grizzlies NBA Cup schedule. It will be as follows. And get ready, Kevin.
All right.
Because we got another new TV option. Halloween night, All Hallows Eve, Nick Saban's birthday. The LA Lakers at home, a 8:30 local start time. You can see it on national television on Amazon Prime. So I guess that will be week two, right? I feel like that's usually about the second week.
National it used to television, be, quote unquote.
Yeah. I used to think, yeah, national, whatever it is.
You can see it on the global app for television. Your delivery service.
Global television.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I still think we should start the NBA. Like I thought it was fine when we were just doing, when it opened on Halloween.
You liked it? I never liked Halloween.
I mean, I still think it's too early, but like,
oh, sure.
We're now doing the move like we do with schools. Where we just keep going earlier and earlier and earlier, and I'm like, this is not good.
No, you can have me convinced that the NBA, since you know the NFL's coming after Christmas and every other holiday, that the NBA should...
That's the real war on Christmas.
Right.
The NFL's trying to take on Jesus.
But the NBA should embrace Halloween more. They could do that. They could make Halloween Day games more important. I don't know how, but I'm saying they could do that since they're kind of losing their grip on Christmas. Make playing on Halloween be a big deal.
The only thing that I'm fingers crossed hopeful for, as the NFL takes more and more of their days, and let's be real, the MLK game, as the football calendar starts getting later, the MLK game's just going to be a football game. Like, so,
right.
Like, I'm not saying locally, but I'm saying like in terms of national prominence. The only thing I'm hopeful for is that the NBA will finally like wake up and realize like, all right, we need to start later, finish around 4th of July or even end of July. I mean, let's be real. Like, really all you have to do is you got to be done before football season starts. Like, I'm hopeful that maybe they will do that, but, you know, probably not.
So Halloween night
is the Lakers.
The Grizzlies are playing the Lakers?
Correct.
At 8:30. That is perfect.
Spooky season. That's Kevin's favorite.
I do. I don't know if it's my favorite. It's one of my favorites.
There's a decent chance I lose on October the 30th on Writer Than Right Trivia because Kevin will probably have a spooky theme.
Oh, is it?
Writer Than Right Trivia.
Night?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love spooky.
Yeah. So can't wait for that.
It's a little early for spooky season, but it's everywhere. Every store I go to, it's Halloween stuff out.
Costco, you can't find. Like, it's all the costumes are out. All right. Here's the one that matters. Friday. November the 7th, so 1 week after the Lakers.
I mean, Halloween, I think the timing of that real quick, like, I mean, if you're a Grizzly, you couldn't ask for a better time for a big marquee game because trick-or-treating is going to be done by 8:30. You could settle in and you can watch.
I mean, honestly, I don't remember the last time the Grizzlies had a game on Halloween.
It feels like a long time. That's a road game, though, right?
No, that was home.
That is home.
That's at home, but it's eight. It's just a late start.
It's a late start because it's the Lakers.
To get the prime. I would presume there's an East Coast game, and then...
Right, so that makes trick-or-treating a little trickier, but it's at least doable with the late start. You know, 7 o'clock would be tough, but...
Friday, November the 7th, the Dallas Mavericks. That is a 7 p.m. start.
This is the next day?
That is the next week, the following Friday.
This is why I don't like the cup. Like, it needs to be all together.
Please, that would make entirely too much sense. Like, come on. We can't space it out, and we can't get all our wonderful television providers. Then the Grizzlies will have road contest. This will be, to your liking, a Wednesday-Friday. Not quite a back-to-back, but at least it's in the same week.
Right.
At New Orleans, at the Clippers. So those are the Grizzlies' four cup games. But I focus in on the Friday, November the 7th game, because if you will take a look at the University of Memphis' football schedule, November the 7th is indeed the Tulane game. That is a Tulane Friday night game. It is the second to last game of the year, but it is potentially the biggest home game of the year, with the caveat of, are you just going to say the Arkansas game is bigger just because it's an SEC opponent? And if you're someone that believes that, I'm fine with that. But in terms of the stakes of the season, that could potentially be the biggest game of the year. That could determine either A, who's in the American Championship game, or who's hosting the American Championship game. It likely will have impacts on the entire conference landscape.
For Silverfield, for sure, it's the biggest. It's bigger, right? Because, like, he needs to get to that. I feel like more than the fans want, right? If you ask the fans to beat Arkansas or beat Tulane, like, what do you think they're going to say? The majority of people are going to want to beat Arkansas. So that's how you decide which game is the biggest game. They want to beat Arkansas at home. That's the most important one. That's the one you'll talk about to your grandchildren.
It's not quite as severe as it was last year. Did we have a bye week in between Florida State and Navy?
I feel like we did, yeah.
Or was it just Florida State hit the road in Annapolis the next week? In my head, I had that there was a bye week, but then I was thinking...
Was there a bye week before the Florida State?
That's what I'm now starting. I'm pulling up last year.
There was a bye week somewhere around it. I think I felt like it. Maybe it was before.
Yes. So no, it was a bye. Yeah. So it just went North Alabama, Troy, at Florida State. Then they had to turn around the following Saturday, go back to Annapolis. Okay. So there was no bye game. I don't know why, but I thought there was. The bye game wasn't until after the MTSU game and before the South Florida game. So.
But anyway, it is a big game on the schedule, and as
it is potentially the two best teams in the league.
But hopefully.
I'm saying if I'm looking at, I know
potentially
odds are a certain way. I think most people that are football people rather than odds people, they think these are the two best teams. So you can sort that out. Would you rather put your faith in football people or put your faith in Vegas? I think there's an argument for both. Both get it right, both get it wrong.
Right, yeah, sure. Yeah, and Vegas is basing a lot of their predictions on people's opinions.
Expectation, it's a market, so like obviously expectation factors in. All right, so buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. It's bad for Tiger football that the Tulane game is now the same night as the Mavericks home cup game.
I'm going to say I buy that. I buy it. I think it's bad for both the Grizzlies and the Tigers that this game is on the same night. How many Tiger football home games do we get a year? How many is it? Is it seven?
So it varies. It varies.
If they play in the Liberty Bowl?
Well, no, it varies based upon, honestly, like the non-con. So this year will be a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 home games, and then potentially hosting the American Championship game.
So that's six games. Six, like, can they not have, like, if you would feel like they could should have those, you would hope that they would have all of those days to themselves, right? Like, come on now. They played a very few times throughout the year. If you're the Tigers, you would hope you would be the only game in town for those particular days. However, when you're jumping around to Friday, like, it's going to get into this possibility. So it's just, we don't know for sure. We'll find out the Grizzlies schedule in its entirety tomorrow, but like there could be other days, and there often is, quite frankly, throughout other previous seasons that the Grizzlies play on the same night as the Tiger football team. But you know, it's bad for everybody when that happens. We shouldn't have to split.
I guess the decision. So technically it will be back-to-back weeks. So the Halloween game. Now the Tigers are playing
on the road.
They're at Rice on that game, but that's another Friday night game. That's ESPN2. But you can actually, I'm fine with one of them being at home
while the other one's on the road.
Well, this is actually going to work out.
This
will actually work out really nicely. Yeah. You can have a twofer here. So the football game is going to start at 6. The basketball game starts at 8:30. Now, obviously, football games take longer to play, but you can kind of keep that. That's one you could easily keep. You got
home. You're
and it's a Friday night, so if you want to go hit one of your favorite spots to watch both games, bango.
Right. I like it when there's like the road game, the random, because it's scheduled. It happens all the time. The Grizzlies road game at night that's timed in where like the end that's starting at the end of a game you just went to or something else. But it's bad for the Tigers. It's bad for the Grizzlies that this is happening. And but it could be bad for, because it's two games that everybody would want to go to, I would think. It possibly is worse for the Grizzlies if we're saying which one it's worse for, because we're optimistic that this game is going to mean something. If it doesn't mean anything, then this debate we're having doesn't mean anything, because, and by that I mean if the Tigers suck, if they lose games going into this,
yeah,
and they're
so
not
obviously
in contention,
how the season plays out factors greatly.
If the Tigers are not in contention to make the conference championship game, then this debate doesn't mean anything. So
now here's the
like the gri- go to, here, the, here's go the, to thing. The Grizzlies game.
Okay, let's say the Tigers don't even beat Arkansas. But here's the problem.
Well, they're not going to be favored.
But also, listen, I do agree with Tim. That is like a great spot for the Tigers to catch the Razorbacks.
Oh my goodness, the crowd's going to be great.
But here's the schedule: Chattanooga at home, at Georgia State. At the artist formerly known as Turner Field.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've reconfigured that. They call it like, I think it's like Park with a C Stadium or something like that. At Troy, Arkansas game at home. At FAU, brand new coach trying to tear it down to the studs and rebuild. Tulsa, don't know if anyone's caught them. I believe they don't have any NIL money. At UAB, USF at home. We're always waiting on USF to be that sleeping giant at Rice. So even if you throw out the non-conference schedule, it's entirely possible the Tigers are undefeated in conference play. The toughest game will be the UCF game at home the following Saturday.
That's home here? Like a home game?
Correct. The USF game is here. So that will be the toughest, I mean, like, at least on paper.
And I've heard you talk about it. Like, it is, we're going into this season kind of a little disappointed. At least I am disappointed that the last year didn't work out, knowing that it is a reload season, but still the opportunity is still there. You're still playing 100%. The same lousy teams, but this year you're playing most of them at home.
Yes.
And the schedule is very favorable, especially with Arkansas game being at home as well. So like, this is a chance. It could be a great Tiger football season. So hopefully, come November 9th, is that the day? That it's going to be
7th.
November 7th, Friday, November 7th, that it's going to be a very easy decision. The weather should be great. You know, if the weather is nice, very easy decision, hopefully, that you go watch the Tigers against Tulane and punch
well,
the ticket to the.
You know, Kevin,
yeah.
The Vols didn't win their national championship when Peyton came back for his senior year. It was the next year, the year that was not supposed to be the year.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
There you go, Spin Zone. There's your college football Stretch Armstrong moment of the day.
I just want to beat Tulane because Jeffrey, when you were out, we had Congressman Cohen on here, and you know, talking about expansion and the conferences and all that, and he brought something up that I just haven't really taken enough time to like think about as a realistic thing that possibly will happen. But he was talking about how these conferences are valuing education side, right, of the whole realignment.
Sure they are. But yes, I know.
But they're acting like it, right? That's why part of the reason Virginia is in very big, strong contention to join the SEC, right?
I will say this. He is right in the sense that it's not as wink, wink, nod, nod. Like, it is mattering more than zero.
Right. Well, but that's part of the reason.
But in the
Virginia
end,
is also market size.
Correct.
They want to be close to the National Guard on the street.
And it's a state
that
they don't already exist in.
Right.
And it gets them closer to the DMV.
I mean, it's the capital of the South. It makes sense for the SEC. But Virginia's academics, they did not ignore that, right? And then the Congressman Cohen bringing up the way he said it, like, is there there's a chance, Jeffrey, that Tulane gets an invite to another conference and leaves us behind? That's what I'm saying. And that's why I really believe production on the football field matters more now than ever before. It's the one thing that the Tigers have the money to improve and they have the schedule to dominate, and that's where this $200 million needs to be focused on. And I go back and forth whether or not it's a change in leadership or something, but
yeah.
But, like, beating Tulane is more important than ever before. I do think it's a realistic – there is a scenario. We could live in a world where Tulane gets an invite to jump to another conference and leaves us behind, especially if they continue to dominate in football. We are never going to catch up to them academically. So
I know
it's baffling.
I'm not saying it's zero.
I think it's possible.
I will say this.
I wish
– If Memphis were the exact same academic institution, but the television market presence was 2.5 to 3 million people.
Memphis and New Orleans are the same.
So my thing is, I think it's one of those things that gets used against people, but really almost all these decisions that have been made are based on the size of the brand. And I think it's still trending that way.
It won't be used as a positive for Tulane as much as something against Memphis.
I really worry about these small private schools that are even committed to winning. Like, I think Duke's future's uncertain. Because in the end, if you look at where all this is, like how it's all assembling, what it's assembling big schools. Like, I'm curious what Miami's like brand is.
But we're thinking of Tulane from 10 years ago. This Tulane, they have a team that competes every year in football. Like,
Tulane as.
But I'm saying, like, current Duke. Duke has been.
Well, Duke just bought Tulane's quarterback.
Sure, they're trying to compete, but it's harder to be successful in where they're at. But anyway, we got off track. Hopefully, that's a very competitive game. And you're getting me fired up and excited about the Tiger football season.
Typically, the Tulane-Memphis rivalry in the last decade has been pretty predictable. Home team wins. Last year, the road team did win because Tulane got cold. Typically, it's been like, when Memphis is at home, they usually handle it. And when they go on the road, it's usually been a problem.
And this one, luckily, will be at home, and you want to hopefully lock in the home field for the championship.
So let's break this out I kind of want to think about it in terms of, like, let's try to, like, actually do it as, like, an intellectual exercise.
Okay.
What percentage of Tiger football fans are Grizzlies fans? It seems to me that is the higher portion. Like, for instance, if we go Tiger football fans that are Grizzlies fans versus Grizzlies fans that are Tiger football fans, it seems to me the higher percentage is Tiger football fans as Grizzlies fans rather than Grizzlies fans as Tiger football fans. Am I off base, or do you co-sign that?
So you're saying, like, you go to a sold-out Grizzlies game and say, stand up if you're a Tiger football fan.
Correct. So
if you go to a sold-out Simmons Bank, stand up if you're a Grizzlies fan. You're going to have more people stand up that are Grizzlies fans, not just because the building is bigger. If you put them all in the same building.
Right? Correct.
But yeah, for sure, because the Grizzlies fan base, it spans all college associations.
It's more, the Grizzlies fan base is more of the, this is the team I can root for and still root for my SEC team.
Correct.
Which
so you're not guaranteed, and especially if you're a Tiger fan, you're not guaranteed to even be a Tiger football fan, right?
Correct.
So there's many of the Tiger fans. Yes. Just I'm the basketball fan for that, and I like Tennessee football or whatever. So
one of my old golf buddies, that was his. He went to Tennessee, but during the Tennessee Memphis basketball games, like he was wearing his Tiger blue in the student section. Like,
and I do think that's something that could change with a new conference eventually. You know, like what. It's that potential of Memphis, you know, when you do jump ship ever, if you ever get called up to a better situation, like that would change eventually. More of the city-wide would support the football team. But until there's meaningful games being played, until the Tigers are truly a serious player in college football, they're not really gaining new fans than what they already have and that people are. But anyway, so yeah, no doubt about it. The Grizzlies have more fans than the Tigers, and the Tigers have more for Tiger football. And the Tiger football they have more seats to fill.
Yeah.
So that night they're going to try to get more people. They got to get more people into the
what's our number
stadium.
What's our number right now?
Not that many more. Since there's still the big hole.
That's what I'm saying with the because we'll that still will be.
Is it 38? It's still double plus.
I think it's around 38. I'm trying to
which is a doable. Sellout, right?
It should be
nice weather in November
now,
on a Friday night. Is high school football?
Well, this
done
is
by
the
then?
Other complication is that is playoff time. Now it doesn't mean everyone's
so you'll be
playing.
In some other city that night calling some football.
Hopefully, I'm at Holdobbs Athletic, or hopefully I'm at Stokes Stadium, Bobby Alston Field, Holdobbs Stadium. Hopefully, I'm there calling a playoff game, but.
Right.
There is a decent chance that yes, I am on I'm Nashville or East.
Oh Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a decent chance I'm in Chattanooga, calling a minor league football team playing a high school team. Yeah. Cause listen, hey, Baylor and McCauley, keep doing you guys. It's really high school football. I think I'm actually gonna sell it.
You're selling, all right.
I don't think it's good for anyone.
That's what I'm saying. But so it is bad for them. That's why I bought it, because it's bad for both. It's not. We don't want to have to keep splitting up.
But like
making people make that decision. You said there's six home games, possibly seven.
I will say this: if you're someone that supports both, like let's say you're a Tiger basketball or a Tiger football season ticket holder and a Grizzlies season ticket holder, I do think, provided the year's going the way we're talking about, that game is. Got major conference stakes, maybe even more. It's entirely
right.
possible.
If the Tigers are completely 100% undefeated going into
correct.
That,
it's
then
entirely
there's
possible.
A chance for a playoff.
Well, then
spot.
On top of that, Tulane.
It's an easy decision. If the weather is nice, the Tigers are positioned to win the conference and or make the college football playoffs, which is a realistic possibilities again this season. It's a very easy decision because there's going to be 41 Grizzlies home games they're going to announce tomorrow.
Correct. And you recognize.
But this is a cup game, but I don't think that matters.
I don't think the four's getting anyone out.
Right.
Like, and I think you recognize it's still kind of football season, and even if you're a season ticket holder, I think Ty would go to Tiger football if the game is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Now, if the Tigers don't hold up their end of the bargain, I think it has to be.
It's a super easy decision if the Tigers don't hold up the end of
correct.
The bargain.
Correct.
Like, it's very easy. Like, why? And that's unfortunate because you could still go because you want to take the kid to the game or you just like sitting and eating some Coletta's pizza, you know, at the fairgrounds. But like you could still go, but there's not going to be a must go to situation.
Yeah. And like, I don't even think it's necessarily like Tulane. It's just if the Tigers hold up their end of the bargain. Like, I don't even think it has to be undefeated in conference play Tulane because Tulane's also got
the Tigers need to be in position.
Yeah, because Tulane actually they play Northwestern, Duke, and at Ole Miss. So like Tulane, like everyone's kind of focused on
they
Boise.
They are playing Duke. Well, that's an interesting matchup.
Yeah,
after this
at
conversation.
Home.
Yeah,
yeah, that'll be
battle of academics.
Well, and the battle of you bought our quarterback.
Yes. So their quarterback they had last year.
Correct.
Is now
Mensa.
At Duke. Okay.
Is now at Duke. For reportedly $4 million a year. I need to see some paperwork, but that's the reports. Okay, so anything else that we need to add to this?
I think we've covered it. I think we're going right now, as of right now, you're going to a high school playoff game. I'm going to the Tiger football game. That's my decision. George, you're going. Which one are you going to?
George will be working the Grizzlies
game. I will likely
game.
Be working at the Grizzlies game.
So we'll be covering all three big events. All right. Fantastic.
That's the Mavs game, right?
That is the Mavs game.
Oh, yeah. We got Spanish broadcast going on. So you guys George know will, where I'll be. Radio
George
radio.
Will definitely be there. Yeah, that's definitely like peak. Like, I'll be driving to Chattanooga. It'll be the worst. All right. Let's do buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. We're supposed to buy Jaren crypto like we're supposed to buy Jaws shoes. So for those that have not caught the story, did not expect to have this in my inbox today, but I got this from Danny Brenner of BZAPR.com. Vilnius, Lithuania is the byline. BTC, one of the world's longest-serving crypto exchanges, welcomed 2023 Defensive Player of the Year and two-time NBA All-Star Jaren Jackson Jr. as its global brand ambassador. As a phenomenal shot blocker and the leader on the court for the Memphis Grizzlies, Jaren Jackson Jr. is set to partner with BTCC and the world of crypto. So I guess it's important to note Jaren's not going to have his own coin yet. I guess. So,
all right, that's
no trip coin.
So this is it's just an exchange, correct? This is
it's a sponsorship deal. Yeah.
To help everyone out, this is FTX, provided that they're not committing fraud.
That's right. How I'm reading this. Yeah.
But yeah, do you?
So I guess buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. BTCC should be the crypto exchange of choice for every Memphis Grizzlies fan.
I would have to buy that we're very big believers in shop local, support local, and
support your guys.
Yeah,
support
Jaren. Support
your guys out in Lithuania.
Yes,
but
didn't have Lithuania as a byline in my inbox on my bingo card today.
So wait a second, I have a question. Thinking about it, do we know the Grizzlies title jersey sponsor this year? Is it the same as last year?
Robin Hood.
So
Robin Hood is also.
I thought Robin Hood signed a multi-year deal.
I thought they
did
too.
I believe that's correct. Robin Hood is also a place
exchange.
Where you can exchange cryptocurrencies.
Interesting. Okay, so
hasn't Robin Hood kind of had to pivot?
No, I get emails from them all the time.
So. All right, Memphis Grizzlies secured a multi-year partnership with Robin Hood, making the financial services company the team's official jersey patch. So my understanding with Robin Hood is you can buy crypto there,
but it's not exclusively. No, it's not only an exchange. It's also stock, bond, you know, other things.
So I guess maybe the official stance is you buy your stocks through Robin Hood. Also, don't peek under the hood at Robin Hood either.
Yeah, don't do that.
And then you buy your crypto
from
BTCC.
And of course, we know what shoes to get. You got to get the Jaw 3s.
Correct.
Which, did you see the reports about the Jaw 3s? Is what you can
already
create.
Sold out.
But yeah, but you can now create. You're gonna be able to create your own the Jaw 3 by you, where you can like somehow create your own.
Oh yeah,
colors.
I thought you could always do that on Nike.
Can you do that?
It's only with certain models.
Ah.
So like
customizable.
Yeah, like you can do it with I think Air Forces and some Air Maxes or whatever, but not. Most basketball shoes you can't do it with. With the Jaws, that's pretty cool, though.
Jaw 3, apparently, yeah, they're going in that direction.
In my experience, customizing shoes was a nice way to have your parents say no. Because when I would customize shoes, a $100 shoe became like a $250 shoe. Because I found ways to put bells and whistles on it.
I'm always against customizing. Like, I'm not building my own burger. I don't want to pick out my own shoe. Just tell me what the options are, and let's go.
Speaking of, you know another trend as we quickly take a break here,
yes.
I'm out on? Have we become such a soulless society that when you go to Lenny's, when you go to Burger Place, we can't even have anyone take our order anymore? They just put the screen up now?
Oh, you got to type in on the, and pick out the
Like, this order. Is getting dystopian for me.
Yeah, for some reason it feels like a loss.
Like we cannot have that much human contact.
Well, it's better than, at least they're not like checking your, my biggest thing is when you go to the stores, you know, and there's nobody, the receipt. There's nobody there where you check you out, and then you gotta, you personally do the job of somebody they should be paying to check yourself out, and then it flashes on the screen like, oh, too many, you know. I accidentally pressed two sets of bananas instead of one, and so they gotta come over here and fix it. They won't let me fix it. Like, you're trusting me to do it. Why? Either trust me or don't trust me to do this. And then, like, you're walking out, and they gotta see the receipt again. It's like, geez, y'all are like, I hate it. I hate that. And now, like you're saying, the screen, like, we have to do what used to be jobs
Correct.
For people.
And by the way, I've not noticed it making the process more efficient.
No,
it's one of those things where it's like, if I went through this experience and at the end I was like, that was better, like that was more efficient, I'd be fine with it. It's not.
It might in some situations, in some places, but like you're saying at fast food, no, it's much easier for the person.
I might take it a step further, and this might just be me. Most of the times, if I'm getting fast food, most places, I'll just order ahead of time.
See, I'm not an app guy, but I am the guy that... I will.
That's the way to go. I mean, George, you're right. That is the way to go. It saves you time.
I will go in store in order to go, rather than drive through.
Yeah, we're the weirdos, Jeffrey, that do that.
But I'm not. I'm still like holding on to like not getting the mobile app.
Because that means
I don't mind. It can save you time if you're taking a trip.
If you're leaving your house in the car to go get something, you might as well order on the app real quick so it's ready when you get there.
Go run your errands. Pick it up.
That can actually save you time.
It's more the principle of like, I don't need another organization selling my data. And I get it. Everyone's already selling data already. But
no,
like,
I'm with you.
I will also say it does also depend on some restaurants that take a lot longer than others, especially if you're in person. Like some of these sandwich shops, like you go in and there's a line, you're going to be sitting there for a minute. Just order ahead of time.
Yeah.
Make it easier on yourself.
Like, I'll do that for like takeout. I'll do that move. All right, let's take a quick break.
The self-checkout was flashing. They came over, they fixed it, and then they had to check my receipt again. It's like what do you think? I'm trying to steal these bananas? What is happening?
To defend my brethren in retail grocery.
They're doing their jobs, but the job they're being assigned to is harassment.
The guard may see you come from self-checkout, but like in theory, they're just checking everyone out.
I'm holding the receipt in my hand, so like, please don't stop me. I bought this stuff.
Right. It's not a good. Let's just say this.
It's just not comfortable.
It's not a great place to be as a society.
It's not a business. It's not a great place where you're accusing everybody of leaving your store of stealing.
Correct. It's like I cannot. Yes, and I'm having.
Right.
Yes,
you need a better system instead of saying, "Hey, I got to make sure you didn't steal this." And I was like, "Yeah, I didn't steal this. Why am I stealing?" Like,
I'm entirely in agreement with that. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will be joined by Ardarius Walls. He's got a big MMA headline fight on Saturday night. He'll tell us about it when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Please now to welcome into the studio Ardarius Walls. He's a.k.a. the Humble Assassin. The fight is Attitude MMA's Fights 35. It's the Southland Showdown 3. August the 16th, that's Saturday night at the Southland Casino Hotel in West Memphis. You can get all the tickets at attitudemma.com. Don't forget about the promo code 929WMFS. That will get you 15% off all tickets. You can follow him on Instagram at @OneSlim_Reaper5. @OneSlim_Reaper5. You can also check out his Facebook page, AD Visuals, Visuals with a Z. Ardarius, welcome in, my man. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thank y'all for having me.
All right, so we got the main event on Saturday night, and we're fighting in flyweights, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, we have fought Eric Calvert before.
Right.
What are we doing to change it on this Saturday night?
I got the same mentality, except for, you know, obviously I felt him before. I done watched him fight. I coached against him, and so I had a lot of time to see, you know, the full picture, and so more than anything, just play my game. You know, as long as I do everything the way I'm supposed to, I'm good. Focus on myself, keep my head down, and get the job done.
So this will be your third professional fight, correct?
Yes, sir.
I feel like of the guys that we've talked to, you're a little bit earlier in your career than that is than most that I've been talking to. Is that correct?
I don't know who you've been talking to.
I feel like, I mean, we've had some guys. I mean, heck, we've had some guys that I feel like they've been doing it for 10 years. They've had like UFC tryouts and whatnot. But I feel like three fights is, I mean, how long have you actually been in the MMA game?
I've been training 5 years. And in the short 5 years that I have been training, I just been making a tremendous amount of strides, training hard, dedicating myself to it, really just putting my heart and soul into fighting. And so, like you said, I done came a long way in a short amount of time. So I'm just grinding hard, working, just trying to implement my mark on this game.
Where are you from originally? Because I see it says fighting out of Mississippi. Where? What's your story from?
I'm from Memphis.
Okay.
Just all my fights from before this fight, literally all my fights been in Mississippi. So all my amateur fights, I had, so this is my 10th total fights. I had seven amateur fights, and all my fights been in Mississippi. So as amateur, I was doing knees and elbows as amateur. And Mississippi is probably the only state to do legal elbows and knees.
Oh, wow.
As amateur, like all other states as amateur is illegal. And so I've been having, so when I transitioned to a pro, it was the same rules. I just had to keep doing the same things except for I switched gyms, got with my coach, Brian Hall. We made a lot of adjustments and just trying to be the best version of myself.
Where in Mississippi? Where this all over in Mississippi? Where are the fights taking place down there?
Yeah, it's early in my career, it's kind of been all over Tupelo, South Haven. I had one that was I can't think of it right now. I'm not from Mississippi. It was kind of like 3 hours
away. So you can cross the state line and use your elbow. You just got to be down in South Haven. You just got to be.
Yep. Once you cross over to Mississippi.
Once you cross that
everything
line.
Everything legal.
The elbows are all.
But once you cross back over Tennessee, thing. Arkansas is illegal.
What is the determining factor from going to amateur to turning pro? Like in other sports we know, like sometimes it's like, hey, you ran out of eligibility and now your only chance is pro. But like, what is it with MMA? Because it doesn't seem to me that there's like a clear decision of, all right, now's the time to turn pro. What was that decision for you?
Well, the biggest difference is from being an amateur and a pro is you get paid to fight as a pro. As an amateur, you don't, right? And so I have been training a lot. I was, I say, one of the most consistent guys. And so, actually, my first pro fight against Eric was somebody else's fight. So
you said, hand up, I'll take it.
So once that, you know, the fight fell through, they had some stuff going on. You know, my coach like, you next up. You in the gym, you putting work in, I trust you. You know, I believe you can come here and get the job done. And you go back and look at the fight, I was winning. I was beating them up, you know. And I got ahead of myself. And so that's why I said, as long as I focus on myself, I'm going to do the same thing I did the first fight. Beat them up, except for this time, I'm going to get the job done.
So is it as simple as, like, as soon as somebody offers you money for a fight, you're like, all right, I guess I'm pro now? Is that, because that's kind of what I'm trying to decide is, like, you know, in other sports, there's this decision of I'm turning pro.
Right.
Whereas in MMA, it seems like it's a little more blended. Is it literally just as soon as, like, somebody says, hey, this is a paid fight, and all of a sudden you're a pro now?
Not necessarily every state. Every state is different. Some states you got to have maybe 4 amateur fights.
Yeah.
You know, and
so there's qualifications, too.
In certain states, it's qualifications. In certain states, it's, you know, pretty much, are you ready? You know, are you ready to sign up for this? And so, you know, like I said, I had about a 4.5-year amateur career. And so, you know, I did about 4.5 years. After 4.5 years, I was fighting. I started winning. I ended my amateur career on a nice stride. I won a 125 SCLC championship belt as an amateur. And so, and I defended it and I won my defense against it. And so after that, it was like, okay, well, you know, we went in against regional, you know, people that's around the local area, you know, and we beating them up, we knocking them out, we getting them out of here fast, and you know, so a lot of the fights have been tough, but once it was time and it was my name got called, I stepped up.
We're talking to Darius Walls, aka the Humble Assassin. You see him in the main event Saturday night at Southland Casino Hotel in West Memphis. Tickets available Attitude MMA. It is the Southland Showdown 3. Part of Attitude MMA's Fights 35 Clash.
He's in another state. So, like, he trained, got to start really in Mississippi. We're here in Tennessee.
Yes.
Going to be in Arkansas this weekend. That's what it's all about, living here in the Mid-South.
Crossing state lines. So, how'd you get into the MMA game? Because it's interesting. Everyone usually comes from an athletic background, but like some guys have either wrestled in high school. Then we had Marquis on yesterday. He's like, man, I didn't do anything. It's like, I was just like, he was like, I was beside between the army. I was just kind of like, I went into a gym and it's like, oh, maybe this would be for me. For you, what's your story?
My story is, well, I was working. I was driving trucks. So I had my CDLs. Well, I still got my CDLs, but I got two cousins that train jiu-jitsu. And I was working a lot, you know, being on the road, pretty much in the truck by myself for weeks at a time. And, you know, life got stressful. You know, just work. I lived at work, literally. So,
well, and truck driving in general is stressful, like making the times and, you know, trying to stay current with, you know, did you go too many hours? Like, yeah, no, I can see where, and just, yeah, sitting in traffic, driving the interstate system, I could see just being like, man, this sucks.
Yeah, and, you know, it just got stressful. And I was own operator, too, so I had my own truck.
Yep.
So, you know, like I said, man, it was just stressful. And my cousin did jiu-jitsu, and they posted a picture one day, and they had their arm around each other, and they seemed just so happy.
Yeah.
You know, I said, you know what, man?
I'll give that a shot.
I'm stressed out. I said, you know what, let me give it a try. Why not? I ain't got nothing to lose. And so I came home. I signed up for a gym. And I was mad. I was mad about something. I can't remember what it was, but I was mad. I went to the gym. I was beating on the bag hard as I can. And I left the gym, and I was like, what was I mad about? I was trying to be mad because I was so mad.
You're psyching yourself up.
Right.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember what I was mad about. I started smiling. And ever since that day, the gym just became a happy place. And so I just put a lot of time and work into it because it's just something that it found me. I love it.
So Kevin and I are big pro wrestling fans, and one thing about pro wrestling is the building. You know, is this a good building? Is this a good spot? Southland has now, it feels like, really embraced, particularly the Attitude MMA fights. What's the building like when people go in?
Well, it's the casino is across the street, so, you know, it's a nice crowd.
Across the parking lot more so, right?
Right, across the parking lot. And so, you know, it's a nice crowd, and once you go in there, you know, they got the tent set up. It's nice. It's air conditioning, things of that nature, and they got a really good cage. It's set up pretty nice. It's better than a lot of places that I've been to, and they really professional. They run pretty smooth. They don't, you know, do a lot of antics and theatrics and drag the show along. You know, they come in, everybody, we come in on the schedule, and we get in, we get out, we get the job done.
What's your entrance music or your walkout music, whatever?
Oh, well, so on Attitude, they signed a deal with LFA.
A licensing agreement.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you can't, we can't pick our music because of the licensing.
Did they at least like,
what music
give
you got
a song? Did they
head?
Give you,
did
you at least get to pick, like, you know what I mean? Like even when they're like, hey, you get this catalog, did you at least
like
get to pick from that?
Like karaoke night where you're like flipping through things and it's like, I gotta sing what song is going to be.
I'm walking out in my head, Kanye West, you can't tell me nothing.
That's
you
what's
know,
in your head.
So,
you can't tell me
if we had no restrictions, that would be the walkout song?
Most definitely. Yep.
Yeah.
I win this fight. Hey, I'm on top of the world. You can't tell me nothing, man.
Do you? I don't know if you saw the news. Do you subscribe to Paramount Plus?
Yeah.
I'm just curious. As a fighter, big news about UFC this week and Paramount Plus. Do you watch those UFC events, or do you just focus on what's ahead for you?
Honestly, I'm a fan of greatness, and so I don't watch all the UFC fights. You know, I watch good people that got good moves that I respect and I can take from. But like, as a casual fan, I don't watch fights every weekend. I watch fights, I study fights, and I watch my opponents and I improve on my game. But like, sitting down watching TV, like, I don't do a bunch of sitting down watching TV. I'm a putting work in.
Do you think we're going to get more MMA fans, Jeffrey, with the Paramount Plus deal?
I do. I think
watch the big events for free. So Paramount Plus, if you saw this, but Paramount Plus has got all the what were the pay-per-views on ESPN. So now if you just subscribe to Paramount Plus, you're going to be able to very soon watch all of the big events for whatever it costs for Paramount Plus, which is not nearly as much as it costs to buy the pay-per-view. So you're going to get to see the high-quality fights there pretty easily, which I think could potentially.
I think of it in terms of like me. I'm a casual. I've always been a bigger boxing fan than I was MMA.
You weren't paying for the big fights,
but
now you're going to watch them.
But like, you know, I mean, there have been certain UFCs where the card was just massive, and it's like, all right, well, I guess I'm buying that fight.
Right.
But in general, it's like, even if I start out watching the prelims that are on either ESPN or one of the family networks, it's like, all right, I just don't know enough of the guys to sit there and go, I want to pay $60 or whatever it is. But if it's
you're
just
subscribing to
if
Paramount
it's just something
Plus,
I already have, which is Paramount Plus, like I think I'm much more likely to watch it.
I think it was great for UFC to be at ESPN.
Great for Dana,
right? For UFC to be at ESPN because it gave that credibility. I think it
there's
needed
no
the credibility.
Question. I think they needed ESPN now, like to be at the in between.
And now it's the accessibility. I think is going to really also possibly expand that. But Memphis has always since this stuff has officially been legalized and all of that have been allowed around here. We've always had a great MMA community. So, and Attitude MMA seems to now be the leaders for that and all those shows. So I'm looking forward to the event this weekend.
Who are some of the guys that you watch? And are you watching guys that are roughly your same weight class? Because, you know, hey, I'm looking for what did that guy do, whatnot? Or is it, I'm watching, it doesn't really matter how big or how small the guy.